Okay, so, like my brother over there said, my name is Donovan Christian. A young pastor just got approved for my license to be a pastor a month or so ago. So I'm excited about that. Happily married to my wife Rebecca for 3 years. She's also in school. She's going to school to be a child educator. She got a passion for kids and love kids. So, no kids yet, but of our own. But we're working on it. It's funny because I say, God, we doing our part, but we just gotta wait for you. It's on your timing. So, but I'm not bitter about that. Whenever his timing is, it's fine with us. So, before we dive in, I want to start off with prayer and just pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for everybody here. I just pray, Lord, that you would open up our minds, Lord, and our hearts to hear what you have for us. I'm not up here preaching Donovan's words or Donovan's opinions, but it's you, Lord Jesus. So we just pray, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, clearly, boldly, and courageously. And Lord, whatever you have for us today, Lord, just let us to put aside all of the distractions, Lord, and just focus on you. This is our time of worship and devotion to you, to take time from our busy, quote unquote, busy schedules and just unwind and let you fill our hearts, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for how great you are, Lord. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. If you have your Bibles or Bible apps, whatever you guys use, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. And if you're taking notes, you can write today's message is never say never. Just puzzle it just a little bit. Not a lot, but puzzle it a little bit. So, Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, onto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thy stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, onto a good land, and onto a land flowing with milk and honey, onto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the token unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou last brought forth the people out of Egypt. They shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said to God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt onto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, onto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, hath met with us, and now let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And know that the king of Egypt will not give you leave to go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will put forth my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor and of that in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall despoil the Egyptians. So, just a little context here. By this time, Moses had, you know, got out of Dodge. You know, he dipped out. He wasn't going to stick around back in Egypt to wait for the charges brought against him. So, you know, he packed his traveling bag, you know, socks, shoes, you know, underwear, toothbrush. You know, he got a fresh fade, you know, and he bought a brand new polo outfit, you know, with some polo shoes, kind of like mine, but a lot cleaner than mine. But he got out. He wasn't going to stick around and wait for that. He even found him, you know, a cutie. He found him a wife. He got married, you know, and all that. Got hitched along the way, and they had a kid. And they was he was trying to put his old life behind him, you know, right? He was trying to forget all about that, what happened in Egypt, you know, how he committed murder and tried to cover it up. He tried to forget about that. He wanted to move on from his past. But God showed up and gave him an opportunity for reconciliation and redemption. But believe me, most certainly Moses thought, you know, there's definitely no way that I can do it. You know, I'm underqualified, unschooled. You know, I'm not the man for the job, you know, was what was going in his mind. You know, he was a fugitive on the run for murder, you know, back in his hometown, like I mentioned before. You know, he felt like his sins held him back from God. And if, you know, he's even real, why would he want anything to do with me? So he was thinking, certainly God wouldn't want anything to do with me. You know, look at my track record. Because we see God is perfectly holy, you know, and he is. But we know that we're not. You know, we look at God, he's holy, he's perfect. He had this perfect standard, but we, in our sins, are not. We're flawed. So we look at God and say, why would he even want anything to do with me? You know, I'm just too far, far off. You know, sometimes we say that, you know, well, nobody's perfect, you know, right? We use that as a license to get away with sin. Oh, nobody's perfect, so I can just get away with this, I can get away with that, and just cover it up. And okay, well, you know, I can't be holy like God, so I'm going to just do my own business and just, you know, forget about it. But like Moses, we run and we hide from our past. You know, but God sees our sin, knows our past, and he still says, come follow me, right? He says, still, come follow me. I know what you did back then, but I'm calling you to something greater. I'm calling you to something beyond that. I see you as more than what you did years ago, months ago, even yesterday. So Jesus, we know, told sinners to follow him, you know, right? He didn't tell the righteous people, you know, hey, come follow me. He told sinners, hey, come follow me, you know, not the perceived perfect, you know, people. Those who were very far away from God, Jesus said, come follow me. He said, come to me and I'll forgive you, you know, change you, do time as you grow as my disciple. You know, you don't have to be all cleaned up perfect first and then come follow me. Like a lot of people think, they think, oh, I got to get my act together. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop smoking, you know, before I can go to church. You know, then God has set me. God says, no, just come as you are and I'll clean you up. There's no way you can clean yourself up. Because none is, you know, there's not one righteous person. Everyone is far from God, fallen from God's grace. So God's heartbeat is those who want absolutely nothing to do with him, you know, who doubt him and doubt forgiveness. You know, look at Moses. He doubted forgiveness day and night, haunted by his past. You know, you think he thought God would choose him? You know, anybody but me. Why me? You know, look at what I did. You know, we see Moses as, you know, Moses, you know, patriarch, but we forget about what he did in his, you know, his past life, you know, but he was forgiven for that, and so can we. We can be the same way, but he was haunted by his past. Let's look at the rest of this conversation between him and God. Turn a little bit over with me to chapter 4 in Exodus, Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 1 through 17. But Moses protested again. Look, they won't believe me. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say, the Lord never appeared to you. Then the Lord asked him, what do you have there in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down, and it became a snake. Moses was terrified, so he turned and ran away. Then the Lord told him, take hold of its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it became a shepherd's staff again. Perform this sign, and they will believe you, the Lord told him. Then they will realize that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. Then the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your robe. Moses did so. And when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with leprosy. Now put your hand back into your robe again, the Lord said. Moses did, and when he took it out this time, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. If they do not believe the first miraculous sign, they will believe the second. The Lord said, and if they do not believe you, even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the dry ground. When you do it, it will turn into blood. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been, and I am not now. Even after you have spoken to me, I am clumsy with words. Who makes mouths? The Lord asked him, who makes people so they can speak or not speak, hear or not hear? See or not see, is it not I, the Lord? Now go and do as I have told you, and do as I've told you. I will help you speak well, and I will tell you what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? He is a good speaker. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. And when he sees you, he will be very glad. You will talk to him, giving him the words to say. I will help both of you to speak clearly, and I will tell you what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people, and you will be as good to him, telling him what to say. And be sure to take your shepherd's staff along so you can perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. So even after, you know, God told him all of these things that he would do, to show that he is with him, that he's not alone, you know, that people will listen to him, which is the word Shema in the Hebrew language, which the Jewish people would have understood as obey, to listen. Shema meant the same as to obey. So when God said, listen to my words, he meant obey my words. So Shema means to hear and to pay attention to and responding to what is heard. Let's read together aloud Psalm 27:7. Hear, Shema, my voice, when I call. Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. So, Shema, my voice, when I call, Lord. Be merciful, answer me. So the psalmist is asking God to do something. You mind if I tell a short story real quick? Is that allowed? Is that allowed here? Okay. My dad's a big sports guy. You know, me and my dad both love sports, you know, whatever. But him and my stepmom get really into it. You know, they get really excited. They start walking back and forth, pacing, you know, walking. Oh, I can't take this. It's just too much. So it was the playoffs. You know, they started, you know, yelling and acting all crazy. And then my dad was like, come on, do something. Y'all about to do something. And I'm like, Dad, calm down for your blood pressure there or something, okay? You know, remember what the doctor said? He said, take it easy. Just chill out. You know, but they get really excited about sports. And just like the psalmist told God, do something. My dad was in essence telling, you know, at the time it was the Miami Heat, you know, when LeBron James played, he was like, come on, let's do something. Let's win this game for us. Because in our minds, we think that our favorite teams are we somehow a part of that or something like that. But, you know, he gets really into it. He gets really excited about it. He's telling him to do something. So just like the psalmist says. So Shema is not just listen, go in one ear and out the other. It's more than that. It's something more deeper. You know, it's do something about what is heard. You know, put it into action. You know, not just hear something and that's it. You know, put it to work. Put it to practice. Put it in work. Exodus 19:5 says, and if you don't mind, we can read this one aloud together. Now if you, Shema, obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine. Exodus 19:5. So from God's point of view, listening is the same as keeping the covenant, right? So yes, certainly God wants his people, the Israelites, and us to listen and obey. You know, you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, but what does this have to do with our passage? What does this have to do with the message? Well, God expects Moses to Shema, listen, obey, hear, do something by going to Egypt when he says go and being an instrument and freeing his people from slavery. If Moses wouldn't have listened and obeyed God, then they would still be enslaved. You know, they would have died there. They would have never made it to the promised land. Just like if we don't Shema God, right, and go where he calls us, then we'll miss out on opportunities of being a witness, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, just showing people how much God loves them. We'll miss out on these opportunities to be able to witness to people if we don't go, if we don't, you know, not just hear God, let it go in one end out the other, but do something with what is heard. If we be stubborn, then we miss out on wonderful opportunities of being part of God's redemption story. You know, God doesn't need us to do, you know, anything. He didn't need Moses. He could have went off and freed him by himself. But he uses people just to show how I want you to be a part of this. You know, I love you. Like I said, I'm not a parent right now, so I don't know, you know, but parents, they want, like my dad always wanted me to be a part of, you know, hey, son, come do this with me. You know, come do that with me. You know, I love you. I just want to show you that, you know, we're together in this. You know, it's a partnership. It's a friendship. It's, you know, it's more than just, hey, I see you, you know, wherever I get home, and that's it. You know, okay, son. Okay, I pay bills, I buy you clothes, and that's it. No, I want a relationship with you. So God is the same way. That's when he says, tells us to go. Don't miss out on these opportunities to preach. You know, that's what we're here for. We're put here for to preach. That's why God didn't save us and just take us to heaven. But yet again, here Moses still doubting, still skeptical. You know, he says in chapter 4, verse 10, that he's got a speech problem. Okay, you know, he's using that as an excuse not to face his past. You know, just as I was going over it doing my study, I'm thinking about it, you know, it kind of makes sense. You know, look at the context and why he fled and went there in the first place. You know, he's like, you want me to go back? Why would I go back there when, you know, I'm accused of murder and I'm not trying to go to jail? You know, why would I go back there? I have nothing, there's nothing back there for me. And if we never face our past, then we can never move forward. If we don't face our past, we can never heal from our hurt. So in other words, Moses is not, you know, your average Billy Graham, you know, we know that. But God ensures Moses that it will be, that he will be with him, speaking through him. You know, Moses won't be alone, just like God promises us he's with us. It's his power empowering us. Right? You know, it's not all about me. It's not, hey, Donovan, I'm up here just, you know, speaking to you and just giving you my opinions. And, you know, it's all I know is God speaking through me. You know, that's my prayer. That's my hope. You know, a lot of speakers, they can just come up here and give you, you know, be a good speaker and, you know, be a motivational speaker. And, you know, but I want to preach to you God's word. I want God's spirit to fill you. Not, I can't do anything, but he can do everything. So, you know, God is driving. You know, I'm the passenger. You know, it's his word spoken through my mouth. But Moses, like a lot of us, tells God, send that person over there, right? You know, him over there, they look good. You know, what about him? What about her? You know, not me, anybody but me. You know, you trust me, God, you're not going to get much with me. So might as well send that person over there who, you know, went to Bible school, right? Who, you know, is working day and night in the church. You know, I'm just a factory worker, you know, do lawn care, work at a fast food, whatever. God says, I'll send anybody. You don't have to go to Bible school, you don't have to be a theologian to be used by God. You know, Moses wasn't a theologian at first, you know, it was God, he was being used by God to do great things. It wasn't by himself. You know, but we can't even do the simple things. God tells, you know, to do easy things like go across the street and be friendly to your neighbor. Oh, Lord, why? You know, why? I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I just got off of work. You know, they waving to me, but, man, you know, I'd rather go inside and eat. You know, I'd rather go inside and play my games. You know, I'm, you know, okay. You know, I'll talk to them tomorrow. You know, see them tomorrow driving by. Okay, let me drive her and get away from them. You know, so we can't even be friendly to our neighbors. We can't even, you know, be the hands and feet of Jesus in this way to even say, hi, how's it doing? Let's go out for a cup of coffee. You know, let's go get something to eat. Let's just go chop it up. Let's, you know, spend time building a relationship. You know, you don't got to be with them 24/7, day and night, but just the little things, building relationships. You'll find out that, man, I'm glad that I actually took the time to be a friend to them when they needed one, because we don't know what's going on in people's lives, what they're struggling with, what their issues are. We all have them. But God calls us to be friends to those people we don't want to go to places that we don't want to go, or even do the even harder things, like go to the less fortunate country of Uganda, or Haiti. You know, I know Pastor Frank just got back from there, and, you know, it's tough, you know. You know, we had talks about it. He told me stories. It's tough, you know, things that they go through and how less fortunate they are, you know, than us. Or like our missionaries that we saw that was here last week. I don't know if they're still here, you know, this week, but, you know, who went to Spain, you know, and just the things that they've seen and just how they're willing to go when God tells them to go. You know, not like Moses, huh? I'm not a good speaker. Okay, go. I don't care if you're not a good speaker. I don't care if you, you know, don't have the Bible memorized. Just go. Everybody, you have a story, you have a testimony, and you can share that with somebody. You know, I was tempted to this. Like, you know, when I first got saved, you know, I can't do it, Lord. Give me more time to study my Bible. Then I can go, you know, preach to, you know, my unsaved friends and, you know, my brothers and my family members. Let me do that first. He says, no, just go as you are. You have a testimony, right? You can share what I've done in you to them. And anyways, by the way, he'll tell you that I'm speaking through you. It doesn't matter. If it's from me, you can do anything. I could have just got saved and never picked up a Bible, and God's word can flow out of me because if it's from him. And I'm like, what did I just say? I don't know what I just said, but hey, you know, it's from God. You see, God chooses the broken and messed up type of people, the people who are missing some puzzle pieces. I'm still missing some puzzle pieces. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife right there. She'll tell you. I'm pretty sure she'd be happy to tell you that guy is messed up. He got some problems. I live with him day and night. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm surprised he's still with me. But thank God for that. She's so beautiful. But God wants to fulfill his will. And because he loves us, he uses imperfect people to do just that very thing. You don't believe me? Look at the Bible. There's a lot of whole host of messed up people. Trust me, a lot of messed up people. Moses wasn't the only one who had problems. Let me just demonstrate a little something up here. This is supposed to be, first off, before you start judging me, this is not my puzzle piece. I don't walk around playing with kids' puzzle pieces or anything like that. I'm not a weirdo, you know, but I think this is my nephew's puzzle piece or something like that. And this is a weird puzzle, so, you know, even though the puzzle piece is missing, it still shows a picture. But you get my point. With the puzzle pieces, an unfinished puzzle may look like this at first. It may look like this. But with every little piece by piece, it eventually turns into, give me a minute, I'm kind of LD. I don't even know how to work a puzzle. That's ridiculous. But with every little piece by piece, it eventually turns into this, into a picture. That's not that. Not that either. No more. That's still unfinished. It looks like this. It turns into a beautiful picture. And so you see, we have the potential to look like this. We have the potential to look like the finished product, the finished puzzle pieces. But if we let fear, doubt, failure, inadequacy, our struggles, addictions, you know, hold us down, you know, well, God can't love me because I did this. God can't love me because, you know, I did that. I did so much bad in my past for God to love me or even think about using me because I did this. Then we'll never amount to do anything or be anything if we live by this, code. God predestined you and me for great things. You know, for the longest, I struggled with trying to figure out what's my purpose, you know, what God, you know, has for me. When I was in school, I didn't like school, you know, I only went for the girls, you know, the girls looking pretty, so I'm like, I show up to class, you know, whatever. Same thing with church. I'm like, okay, she's pretty, so I'm just show up to church and, you know, try to impress her. But I barely passed high school because I didn't know what my purpose was. I didn't focus on what my purpose was. What am I here for? You know, we're here for more than just waking up, going to work, or going to school for, you know, just to look at girls or get whatever, build relationships, intimate relationships. More, you know, made for more than that. We're made for what God has for us, his purpose. The apostles were willing and able. We need to be willing and able. Like I said, the apostles were willing and able. The disciples at first, they were willing and able. Yeah, sure. They didn't understand fully their calling when Jesus first called them. But there's no rule that says you have to know it all first, right? There's nothing that says you have to know everything first and then come follow me, right? He says you don't have to know it all first. There's no rule that says that. Just come and follow me. You'll learn eventually over time. Same thing with the disciples. They was confused. Why do you have to go to the cross? Well, that doesn't make sense. Why would you want to do that? You know, they didn't understand a lot of things that he did because at first they didn't understand God's plan, his purpose. and neither do we, but that doesn't matter. He just says, be open and willing. Be willing and able to be used. You know, he just wants you to follow and he'll lead. So we're all broken at times. We all have a past, but our past don't determine our future. You know, God and who we are now, you know, that's what we got to remember. We're not that, but whenever Satan tries to come and says, remember what you did? Remember you did this, you did that, you was this kind of person, you was that. God doesn't want you. God doesn't love you. God can't use you. Remember that and says, no, that's who I used to be. That's not who I am now. You know, say, Satan, I rebuke you. Get away from me because that's not who I am now. I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. Because if God says, you know, if he says, those who choose to follow me must have a squeaky clean pass, you know, they must have a perfect resume, no mistakes, okay, you did this, you did that, okay, you're good to go, you know, you can follow me, you did that, no, not you, no, you made one mistake, so you can't follow me. It doesn't matter, he says, I know all your mistakes, I know your whole track record, trust me, but I still call you to follow me. I still say, come as you are. Trust me, I'll change you. You know, if that was the truth, that God just, you know, chooses us if we're just perfect and have no mistakes, this entire church and every single church out there would be empty this morning. Because how many of us did bad things in our past? I don't need any hands raised. I'm the biggest one, you know, like Paul said, I'm the chief of sin right here, you know. That's how I see myself, because I consider myself just that bad, that awful. You know, too many of us, we all have a background, you know, where we used to be, like I said. But if you let that stand in the way of what God has ordained, God has predestined for you, you'll always look like that. You know, you'll always look like the unfinished pieces of the puzzle. Go back to the unfinished pieces for a minute. If you continue to let that stand in your way, you'll always look like this. You'll never get to the finish line, you know. For those of you who ever ran track in here, you know, I did cross country for a while, you know. But track is getting to the finish line. This is where I start. But eventually I'm going to make it and finish that line. You know, we track runners, they get so happy when they finish, you know, they cross the line. It's a big accomplishment for them. We can get there if we just puzzle it just a little bit, little by little, piece by piece. You eventually look completed. You'll look finished. You'll look completed like the completed puzzle. You'll turn into a picture, a beautiful picture. You know, a puzzle, once completed, it turns into a picture. But you have to go step by step. You can't finish a puzzle without starting with one piece at a time. You know, you can't just skip the process. You got to start one at a time. So you got to step out in faith that even though you're weak, so weak, God can and will give you the strength you need to proceed and accomplish where you're called to. So your puzzle pieces can turn into a complete picture. It can turn into a masterpiece. That's what we can be. That's what you can be. That's what I can be. So even though you may be feeling doubt, inadequacy, failure, don't listen to the lies that you can't do it because you can. You know, I heard my whole life from people, you're too dumb for college. You know, you'll never graduate. Yeah, right. Sure, okay. You know, all you do is sleep in school. That's all you do. You don't, you know, worry about, you just barely pass. So you, college? Okay. And a lot of those things came from my dad, believe it or not. It didn't come from my friends. They came from, you know, a lot of my family members and my parents, you know, would say, oh, you're too stupid. You're too dumb. You know, you can't do that. You know, you never make it to college. We don't got to worry about putting a college fund up for you because you might just barely graduate. So, whatever, but I'm proving them wrong, you know. 2 years, graduate, thank you. 2 years, you know, schooled and passed, technically associate's degree, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm a licensed pastor now, And I'm still in the process. I'm working towards that process of getting ordained. And my parents are seeing that, and my family's seeing it and saying, okay, he going somewhere. You know, I hear they say, okay, his head is on, you know, he's on the right path now. You know, he's doing something with his life. So he's proud of that. Even though, you know, it's to be a pastor, but, you know, he says, oh, maybe my son can be at a mega church. You know, maybe he can, you know, come down here and, you know, work at Joel Osteen's church, you know, down, you know, that's where my son can be. He's going to be a millionaire. He's going to be a pastor, but hey, you know, he's thinking his mom, my dad is all about money. So he's like, okay, he's a pastor. Okay, a mega church. He can know. Okay, so now that's good. He can make money. Okay, whew, he's still going to make money. Okay, so I'm like, okay, Dad, maybe, I don't know, whatever God has. That's the thing I tell him. I say, whatever God has for me, wherever he calls me and my wife, that's where to go. You know, wherever he blesses my ministry, blesses our ministry, as long as I'm following him and serving him, that's the most important, regardless. You know, I don't care about accolades. I don't care about money. I don't care about those things that can fade away. Those things can always be replaced and given to me again. But yeah, I heard my whole life, I'm too skinny. You're too skinny for sports. Okay. You're going to get ran. I tried football once because I was really skinny when I was a kid. I tried out football. That didn't work. I'm like, okay, I quit the first day. I'm okay. I didn't make it past training camp. I'm like, I'm not going to keep getting tackled, you know, breaking my bones. So, I mean, I tried basketball. I always loved basketball. I tried that. That worked out a little bit better. But I still heard from people, you need to bulk up some. You're too skinny, you know, even to play basketball. You know, you need to have some weight on you, you know. I heard that. You're too bad. You're too bad of a kid. Okay. You will never amount to anything. Look at you. Look at you. You're this, you're that. You're weird. You're a thug. You're no good. One mom told, before I met my wife, one mom told me, she said, you're no good for my daughter. You're no good for my daughter. You know, you walk around with your pants sagging. That used to be me. Pants sagging, cigarette hanging, back of his ear, you know. You're too bad. Get out of here. Go that, you know, you're never going to be anything. Honey, why you want to be with him? He's never going to amount to anything. Look at him. You're dirty trash. I even heard that. You're a bum. You're ugly. All of these things that people tell us and the enemy tell us to try to get us, knock us off our game, to try to get us off of the path that God has for us. Oh, okay, maybe I am like they say I am. So I'm just walking around with my head down. I'm just walking around with my head down like this and, you know, feel sorry for myself. Well, they call me a name. They call me this. I'm too this. I'm too that. We need to rise above that, and we need to be focused on what God has for us. I don't care about what that person says about me. Well, what does God say about me, right? Relationships, they come and they go. Friendships come and they go. I mean, even family relationships, you know, they come and they go. They're not eternal. What's eternal is your relationship with God. So I bought into these lies, and you know, I lived a long life of insecurity just because of what other people said about me, how they thought of me. You know, I was a big people pleaser. You know, I bought into peer pressure. Do this, do that, do that. And I bought into it because I had no kind of self-worth of myself. I had no identity or anything like that. I just went with the crowd, whatever the crowd did, whatever they did, I just followed. I was a follower. Go there where they going. Go there. I never lead. I never was a leader. Jesus wants you to follow him so that you can be a leader and lead other people. You know, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, now I'm getting A's and B's in class. I never, ever thought that I would see that to be my future, ever. Like, it just didn't make sense. So in high school, like I said, all through school, elementary, junior high, high school, just coasting, just doing enough just to pass, you know. I even had my kindergarten teacher tell my grandma, say, yeah, your boy, he's dumb. He's dumb. He's a dummy. I'm like, okay. My grandma like, not my boy. You know, my grandma's like, not my son, no. But, yeah, don't live by what other people says that you are. I call you to be. You know, like I said, for me, that's a huge accomplishment. It's a huge accomplishment.